Hello and welcome to the inaugural edition of Chicago Business Podcast, and thank you for checking us out. My name is Drew Sekula, and I am your host and owner of the Soon To Be Awesome channel. This podcast is designed to include discussion whereby leading business executives share perspectives on who they are, what problems they're trying to solve, and how innovation is affecting their organizations. Today, I welcome Tom Dennison, a local biotech executive focused on matching research scientists with seasoned operational executives to create successful businesses. I appreciate your time and hope you find the content both entertaining and educational. Our website includes links to guest profiles and resources that you may find useful at chicagobusinesspodcast.com. And of course, please consider subscribing and spreading the word. Definitely interested in any comments and feedback you have as well. Enough already. Please enjoy the show. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. We're out
of time.
Good to be here.
Yeah, this is the first recorded episode of Chicago Business Podcast. I'm really excited to have you as a guest. So,
thank you.
We're just talking a little bit about friend we have in common. We have actually a number of connections, probably.
I'm guessing we have many.
Yeah. There's actually, probably 10 or so on LinkedIn, and then it wouldn't take us long. He happened to be a University of Illinois alum as well, and we were in the same fraternity down there. You were, I believe, 11 years ahead of me. I graduated in 97. So,
that's right, 11 years.
Yeah.
If my math is correct.
Yeah, so shout out to Acacia Fraternity. But yeah, most of the LinkedIn connections I saw were more business people here in the area. So I will do a separate kind of lead-in explaining a little bit about the show in general. But let's go ahead and just jump right into it. That's good. So maybe we can start. You can introduce yourself a little bit, and we can take it from there.
So my name is Tom Dennison, and I am the founder and president of something called Smart Health Activator. And a little bit about my background. I did go to University of Illinois and started out in publishing, so actual traditional publishing, as in paper and magazines. But then this crazy internet thing came along. And so I decided to jump on board. And so I ended up being a part of three startups, tech startups here in Chicago, going back to the 90s, late 90s, and then into the 2000s. And ended up, all three of them actually ended up doing well. So I was fortunate there.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's good when the first ones work out.
Yeah, yeah. But so that in essence gave me the opportunity some dozen years ago or so to really focus on something I'm very passionate about, and that's simply mentoring and advising early stage founders. And so because of that, I've worked with over 200 founders and early stage startups, from concept all the way through to exit and everything in between. So, great experience, learned a lot about, how to work with or engage early stage founders. I think also learned a lot about myself and how to work with, startups.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you grow up around here then, or what was the pre-Illini idea?
Yeah, so...
And kind of connection to Chicago.
Yeah, so, appreciate that. I actually grew up in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about Ohio, that, you have Buckeye blood flowing through your veins.
What part of Ohio?
So I grew up in Northeast Ohio. I was born in Canton.
Yeah, nice. My family's from the Akron area.
Oh, really?
Mogador, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's actually very close to where we live.
Interesting.
Yeah, very close. So, born in Canton, early years in Akron, and then we moved out to what I would best describe as the middle of nowhere. sort of just east of Mogador.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually went to Walsh Jesuit High School in Akron. And then I guess during high school, I was interested in advertising. And I was fortunate that my father, now a retired professor at Kent State University,
mm-hmm.
and he went to the University of Missouri and studied journalism. And because of that, he knew a lot of folks that were executives in the advertising world. And so he basically reached out to them and asked them, what universities would you recommend if someone were to major in advertising? And so I think it came back, the top three were Michigan State, Illinois, and I think, if I remember, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of immediately eliminated Texas, only because, and I actually, I wish I would have gone there now, but only because, I don't know, the South.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't interested in moving south. And and for whatever reason, I ended up going to University of Illinois between Michigan State and Illinois. And the odd thing about it is that I had never been in the state of Illinois in my entire life until I went there. So,
wow.
Yeah. But I'm sure you know that going to University of Illinois, kind of the natural progression is to move to Chicago. So right after graduation, moved up here and got my first job and so on. And I've never looked back. So Chicago is certainly my home and probably always will be my home. So that's sort of my childhood and how I got up to the city of Chicago.
Right. No, that's great. It's funny. I wouldn't have thought that the connections that we would find together would be Mogador,
Mogador.
Talmadge, that area there in Kent State. I had a lot of family that went through Kent State. So,
yeah,
that was probably an interesting time while he was there. So,
yeah.
Okay. So you touched on Smart Health Activator, but maybe you can give us a little bit more gist about what you're doing now in that role.
Yeah, I think it might be helpful just to give you sort of the backstory on how it all came about. So if you remember, I started working with a lot of startups after I kind of walked away from everyday working life. And it was through a very odd but very inspirational experience that I had where I met this couple that were pitching something called the Hero Project. And the Hero Project is basically crowdfunding for new homes or rehab homes in the city of North Chicago. And so for folks that aren't familiar with North Chicago, it is north of Chicago by about, I think, 25 miles or so. But it's an unusual suburb in that to the south, it essentially is surrounded by incredible wealth. It also is home to very large companies and institutions. But despite all of that, the city of North Chicago suffers socioeconomically. So there's high unemployment, high opioid addiction, high level of welfare recipients, and so on. And that juxtaposition of poverty and wealth along the North Shore of Chicago really bothered me. So I'm like, I'm going to do something about that. And I have a very strong tendency to look at life through a startup lens. So perpetually looking for, you know, what is a problem that we can solve that is sustainable and scalable and will have an impact locally and potentially globally. So taking a look around in the city of North Chicago and then the surrounding suburbs, it became very apparent pretty quickly that North Chicago is really at the epicenter of the largest biotech pharma cluster in the Midwest. So North Chicago is home to Abbott, AbbVie, Hospira, which is now part of Pfizer. There is a VA hospital there that's the only one of its kind, a combination VA and military branch, the Navy. There's Great Lakes Naval Station in North Chicago where every Navy recruit goes through boot camp. So you have all these amazing assets that are in and around the city of North Chicago, but it begs the question, how do we leverage those assets to have an impact locally and then hopefully globally at the same time? And so as I sort of dug into the city of North Chicago, I discovered this small medical school called Rosalind Franklin University. It's in North Chicago. And at some point in time, I met with president and the head of R&D at Rosalind Franklin University. Again, just trying to get to know what was in the city of North Chicago. And I shared sort of my vision and my passion for doing something about the socioeconomic conditions in North Chicago with the university, and they were thrilled. But then also said, hey, why don't you meet with some of our scientists? I'm like, cool, let's do it. And so I met with seven or eight of their scientists, and they all presented, you know, what they're researching and what they're working on. And, you know, naively, I have no science background whatsoever, but I was blown away by two of them. And one thing that really, and remember that I tend to look at things through a startup lens. So one thing that was very clear is that while these two scientists were working on something that really could be life-saving and life-changing eventually for patients, the reality is that it's very, very unlikely that their research will ever see the light of day without some sort of help. So the problem that I sort of accidentally discovered is that, and this is not unique to Rosalind Franklin University. I mean, this exists at Northwestern, University of Chicago, wherever, that you've got brilliant scientists that are developing, researching what could be life-saving, life-changing biotechnology, but the reality is they're just not equipped to even start down the path towards commercialization, meaning getting that research out of the university and into the real world. So that was sort of the light bulb moment when I realized, wow, so we can potentially help solve this problem at Rosalind Franklin, and then widening out to the Midwest in general, where you've got extraordinary universities, brilliant scientists, all experiencing the same challenge, the same problem. So that was the moment where I decided that is the problem I'm going to try to solve.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So now you're working throughout the Midwest. So what are some of the universities that you have relationship with? And
that exists in the Midwest.
Nice. So when you talk about these scientists basically needing help to commercialization, I mean, you obviously have, there's funding, but then I think you provide resources in other ways as well, so...
Yeah, it's sort of the proverbial three-legged stool. So when you think about success in biotech, and it really comes down to three things. It comes down to the intellectual property. So what is it that the researcher is working on? What is the problem that they're solving? How are they solving that disease or what have you? That's one. The second is capital, certainly. But the third and most important is operational expertise. So that's the big challenge that university scientists have, is that they're professors, they're researchers, they're scientists, they're not CEOs, they're not business folk, they're not experts in regulatory challenges. And that's really the biggest part of the equation that we solve for is operational expertise. So going all the way back to where we started in the city of North Chicago, and North Chicago being at the epicenter of this big biotech cluster in the Midwest, that means there's lots of people. People with expertise in preclinical trials, clinical trials, regulatory pathway, operational expertise right around us. So because of that, because of our proximity, over the past, in particular over the past like 2 or 3 years, we've built up this very large team we call the ops team. And that's our common friend, Brian Anderson,
right,
is on the ops team. And Brian is a great example of how we solve this particular problem. So Brian has sort of a storied career in biotech and pharma. He has operational expertise. He's smart. He can raise capital. He can run an early stage biotech startup company. So what we've done is built up a bench of Bryans. So today we've got over 100 people on our team. And these are folks that have, on average, 30 plus years industry experience across drug, diagnostic, and med device. And again, whether it's regulatory expertise, preclinical expertise, drug development expertise, you name it, we've got it. And in the case of Brian, he's on our smaller bench of CEOs. So part of the process is when we identify something that we believe is promising at a Midwest university, one of the first things we do is license that intellectual property into a startup that we create, and we put in the right CEO. And Brian is one of those CEOs.
Great. So, Smart Health Activator is set up as a nonprofit, isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay. So, can you talk a little bit about the economics or what does the money look like, just for people to understand?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and but I'll say at the outset, there really were two reasons why we established Smart Health as a nonprofit. One, and I think most importantly, is that when you're working with universities and large institutions, if you walk in as a nonprofit, the barrier, if you will, lowers dramatically. So there's a sense of feeling that we're all in this together, and we're all looking to spin out this research, this intellectual property, and eventually save lives. I mean, that's what it's all about. So that is the first reason. The second reason is a little more practical, where, and I didn't mention this before, but along the way, going back to the city of North Chicago, I knew that at some point we would need a space and a place to do what it is we're doing, and wanted to have an impact on the city of North Chicago. So what I did is basically facilitated the construction of this research park in the city of North Chicago. So in conjunction with Rosalind Franklin University. So we ended up building a $50 million, 100,000 square foot research park in North Chicago. And
how long ago?
So we started it, and this is sort of amazing, but we started down that path about 4 years ago, and we literally just opened up the doors like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So it is now online, open.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's a huge, well, a few things. One is that Chicago land is a bit short on wet lab space. So we added to that. But number two, it immediately had millions of dollars worth of socioeconomic impact on the city of North Chicago. So it literally added tax revenue. It added jobs. We made sure that locals were hired for specific projects as part of this research park. And we have definitively seen that we've impacted the local economy by millions of dollars.
So that's great. Through the power of LinkedIn, I happened to read an article that you had liked here just yesterday. And that is about Fulton Labs announcement they're moving forward. So can you share your perspective on what that is? And
yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that up. That's very important. There has been, I would say in particular over the past 2 years, this, and I would love to take credit for this, but I don't know if it's because of what we're doing or if it's just good timing. There has been this heightened awareness around the need for wet lab space in the Chicagoland area, and also all of the assets that we have around biotech in the Chicagoland area. So directly tying into what our mission is. And so the article that you mentioned is huge. So for me, I look at it as not as competitive space or anything like that, but quite the opposite. It's the recognition of the assets that we have in Chicagoland and building up. So it's the old, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. And that is not the only major development in Chicagoland. That I love where that one's located. It's in the West Loop. It's juxtaposed with Google and other big developments in the West Loop. It creates sort of lots of activity and entrepreneurship and so on. But there are two other very large developments that are underway also in Chicagoland. Much, much bigger developments, mixed-use developments with, yes, wet lab space, but also homes, condos, retail, but wet lab space being the centerpiece of these developments. So there, in particular, there's one, a development called Lincoln Yards, which is west of Old Town, parts of Lincoln Park, right along the highway, where it used to be an industrial area. But in any case, point being is that there is this recognition that there are a number of assets in the Chicagoland area that we have, but also some that are missing. And the piece that's missing is space. So the space in Fulton Market, when I saw that, I mean, I was ecstatic. And it was developed by a person who is really a cornerstone of the biotech community in Chicagoland. So it really is extraordinary.
And that, I believe, is what, 400,000 square feet?
400,000 square feet.
Right.
Which is huge. I mean, that's a big step forward. So if you think about all the activity that's going on, and in addition to that, that means capital. That, of course, means jobs. But it also raises awareness around the Midwest and Chicagoland in particular around biotech. So because of that, and I mentioned this earlier, that there is this gap in venture capital for biotech going into the Midwest. But very recently, again, heightened awareness around, you know, the research that's being done, the development of this lab space and so on, we're starting to see more venture capital coming into the Midwest, which of course fits right into our thesis, which is got all these amazingly smart, brilliant scientists working on stuff. We've got the operational expertise. Now we're starting to see this influx of capital and now wet lab space.
That's great.
Which is extraordinary.
So in terms of success stories of companies that you've, or scientists that you have partnered with, can you give us a feel for, like, yeah, what's one of the bigger ones that has been successful?
Yeah, so we're still early on, but so the one that I can definitely point to is a startup called Neurolucent, and the scientist, the researcher, is extraordinary. She is extraordinary, and she's working on a new drug that will dramatically slow the progression of Alzheimer's. And I'm sure, as most people are aware, there have been epic failures in drug development for Alzheimer's. Billions and billions of dollars spent, but this is a novel approach. And we believe strongly in what she's developing. And so what we've done along the way is we've raised $several million for Neurolucent. And we're at a point right now where we are identifying what we would call a lead compound or lead drug for this particular startup. And along the way, of course, we're getting interest from Big Pharma, which ultimately are the folks that we will sell to. So incredibly proud of the progress that she has made, and also the team and the money that we've raised for them.
That's great. That sounds very, very good things to come, and it's nice to hear that. It's nice to see that the little guys, in terms of the scientists, can also compete with some of the entrenched interests out there, right?
Yeah.
There's, you got to go kind of top down and bottoms up, and it's where they meet that the magic happens, I guess.
That's right. No, I mean, that's precisely it. And we have any number of opportunities that we're working on today out of several Midwest universities, and which actually leads to, going back to your question about being a nonprofit, we decided over the past 6 months that we would actually create a new entity, a for-profit entity. And the reason why we're doing that, we're not walking away from being a nonprofit, but the reason why we're creating a for-profit is we recognize that if we are truly going to scale and have the kind of impact that we want to have on the Midwest, and Chicago in particular, is that we need to create our own seed fund. So to date, Neurolucent is a great example. What Brian is working on is a great example of how we sort of bootstrap each and every startup that we create. But if we want to have the kind of impact that we're looking to have on the Midwest, we need to have our own seed fund. And so we created a new entity called Smart Health Catalyzer that will be minimally a $50 million seed fund, but could be as high as a $100 million seed fund that will help us to go from working in a linear fashion, creating one startup after the other, to launching five or six startups at a time. And so that's an exciting development. And we've already got interest from a handful of potential LPs that would go into this seed fund. So 2020 is going to be a big year.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. So yeah, you have tons on your plate, obviously, and juggling a lot of balls in the air. In terms of kind of your top challenges and priorities at this point, what comes to mind?
I mean, one of the biggest challenges is, and I say this coming from my background is mostly in the tech startup world. So when you're developing software, software scales really well, right? You develop it, sell it, clients, customers, growth, and so on. With what we're doing, it's not a software solution, it's a people solution. So as we scale, this is one of those things that keeps me up at night, is that there's not an endless supply of Brians. So how is it that we are going to scale if there isn't an endless supply of Brians? So how do we solve for that problem? How do we solve for the people problem? And so what we're doing right now, and this is the shift in Smart Health Activator and the creation of Smart Health Catalyzer, is Smart Health Activator is now going to become really this immersive, educational, experiential platform where we are developing the CEOs of tomorrow. So it's essentially we're working with the City of Chicago and a group called P33 that's was founded by Penny Pritzker and Chris Gladwin. And essentially what we're going to do is create this educational program, two-year program, where at the end of that two-year program, in essence, the graduate, if you will, is ready to be the CEO of a biotech startup.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's really, that is truly one of our biggest challenges is how do we can create a pipeline of startups, but how do we create a pipeline of people?
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have the foundation today for people, but how do we create those, sort of CEOs of tomorrow? So that's one of our biggest challenges.
So real quick, I mean, for people who are, you know, watching or listening, where's a good place? If they want to be involved in the innovation engine and they want to, you know, do more besides, you know, what they're doing today.
Yeah.
How is it best for them to get involved?
So there's actually a few ways. One way is we have a monthly event series that we host called BioPathways. And each and every month, BioPathways, we feature a prominent founder or VC in the biotech community in a fireside chat. It's that simple. And that's an opportunity to meet a number of folks on our team and to get more involved and to support what we're doing. I mean, in essence, if you think about what we're doing, we're building a community. And so that's an easy kind of point of entry. The other way is to literally reach out to me. And if anyone has any interest in what we're doing, and I sort of go back to that three-legged stool. You know, it's about the universities and IP. It's about capital and it's about operational expertise. If anyone out there feels like they can or they know somebody who can fit into at least one of those three buckets, I would love to meet them. That simple. So easiest way to reach me is just via email. And it's just tom@smarthealthactivator.com.
Great. Sounds great. So is there anything else you'd like to cover while we're here? I have one more thing, certainly myself, that we skipped over earlier. So
yeah. More than anything, I mean, this is my life's passion. So I call it my rest of life campaign. So we're in this for the next, at least I'm in this for the next 20 plus years, knock on wood. And so anybody else who has kind of that shared passion for building and sort of this mechanism that will allow some of this research to get out into the real world and save lives, please join us.
Sounds great. And and follow up to that, as we had spoke one time previously in prep to this call, but there's a couple of people I know in my network, both named Glenn Crocker and Glenn Givinetti, who I will definitely get you guys connected.
Glenn, I appreciate that.
Glenn Crocker ran a similar incubation biotech company over in the UK. Mm. So I was, I worked for him as a staff auditor in Palo Alto back in 1997, but we're connected. I've been following
him.
And then the leader of Ernst & Young's biotech practice, Glenn Givinetti, was a partner responsible for my group, the internal audit group at Ernst & Young back there in the late 90s as well. So I think they both would be great connections for you. And I hope that you get some more from this interaction. So on that note, we skipped over the icebreaker and jumped right in, but I'm going to touch on it because it's going to live on. So so in each episode, I'm going to have the guest pick a beverage and we'll enjoy it here. It can be as interesting or not as we so choose. Today we went with Lavazza Coffee, which is our favorite here in our house. And we
love it.
Keep an eye on the Costco Business Center, which is the only one that sells the 1 kilo, 2.2 pounds of Lavazza Coffee. You can't get it at the regular retail stores. I'm not sure why, so I have to buy a case of coffee at a time and drive a half hour for it. But we're gonna have to refill soon. Anyway,
it's worth it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So thanks again for coming.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Great talk there. And we'll keep the communication open.
All right, yeah? Very good.
Thank you.